Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that this blesses you greatly. Here is today's message in progress.
Lord, we drink deeply from the wells of your Spirit because we know that you only have good for us. That's one great thing about God. He only has good. He only is good. He doesn't have anything negative to give his children. And we can drink as deeply as we're able. And the more you drink from his well, and the more you immerse yourself in his wells of living water, the more you're changed. Sometimes you don't even know it till later, you know. Sometimes you can go to a place in prayer where you're so far out there in God. It's so wonderful. When you come back, you find that something's different about you. Something has changed. Something is gone, or you're just different. And it's not, you know, it's just from being in his presence. His presence heals. His presence delivers. His presence makes completely whole. So we can never underestimate how important it is to dwell, you know, to come away and dwell in the presence of the King. You know, there is a real garden when he talks about, you know, this song, when he talks about, come walk with me in the cool of the day, come in the garden. There's a real garden. It's his garden. It's his place that he goes, you know. He doesn't always just sit on the throne. He does sometimes walk in the garden. And he invites anybody that wants to come and walk with him in his garden. And have a one-on-one. I don't know how he does that, but I know he does. And anyone that wants to can come with him and spend time in that place with him and ask their questions and be taught of the Lord. And in that place, you know, if we could see him as he really is, if we could really see him as he is, we would hold nothing back from him. We would hold no thoughts back. You know, we wouldn't have thoughts. We would eliminate certain things from our life. Because, you know, when you really see him, when you really get an idea of who he really is, you know, maybe you know Jesus as the person that bailed you out when you were in trouble or forgave you when you got down on your knees and said, okay, I'm ready. You know, maybe that's how you know him. But as you get to know him better, he becomes more than just your Savior. You know, he starts out as your Savior. He saved you, saved me. But as you get to know him, well, he should become your Lord. But then after that, he should become your best friend and your husband, your beloved. And when you fall in love with him, all kinds of doors open up for you. And when you love him with all your heart, there's doors that are open to you that aren't open to the partial. When you love the Lord with all your heart, there's doors that will open to you that don't open to those that are partially committed to him. You understand? God showed me one time a doorway, and it was so very short. You had to become very, very small to go under this doorway. You know, very, very small, like that high. You had to become very low in him, you know. And to become low in him, he has to become very great to you. You know, just like this process that he desires. And it's kind of about getting self out of the focus. You know, our motives really are everything. And if you haven't spent some good time examining your motives, it is so freeing and liberating to spend time in God, taking a look at why you do what you do, why you pray what you pray, why you desire what you desire, even why you desire the callings you desire. Ask God to reveal the motives of the heart. Sometimes it's a little scary. Because sometimes we have a pure-looking thing for a really rotten motive. And we don't know it if we don't look. And a lot of people assume that they're okay, you know, but things aren't working. And I'm just going to tell you, if things aren't working, it's okay to look under the covers. You know, if something with your car isn't working right and it's making a noise or it's not acting right, the thing to do is open the hood and look at why. Because there's a reason. And sometimes when things aren't working right and things aren't flowing smooth, you need to take a look under the hood, and God will help you. And not in a condemning way. You know, not to make you feel bad, not to bring judgment upon you. In fact, you know that the Word says if we would judge ourselves, you know, we can take an assessment. And it's not, this is not self-condemnation. That's never okay. You know, Jesus died for us. We're not to condemn ourselves. But it's not a bad idea to inspect our motives. Because what I find is if we can purify the motive, we can purify the outward behavior. And if we can purify the motive of our heart, we have God's attention. And we can't even do that on our own. I'll never forget the night that God showed me a motive of my heart. And I was stunned, to be honest with you. I just didn't really, I think maybe deep down I knew, but you know how deep down you can know something, kind of cover it over, you know, in your conscious mind, you're kind of, you know, don't really take a look at it because you don't really want to. But one night, I remember God just really showing me why so many of us and why some of the things I wanted were really pride related. You know, so many of our motives have to do with the approval of man or what will man think of us. You know, how will it look? Will they, you know, some people want to be used of God to be seen as spiritual. I know that sounds crazy, but that's the truth. Some people do a lot of the things they do because they're afraid of what people will think. And Jesus dealt with this a lot when he talked to the Pharisees. One of their key issues was they wanted to look holy. They didn't care if they were holy. They wanted to look holy. But you know, we have Pharisees all the time today. They don't wear the same robes, but they come in all holy looking. And you know what Jesus said about them? He said they were whited sepulchres. Well, that's an old English way of saying if you open up a grave, there's a rot inside. There's a rotting corpse full of you-know-what, M-A-G-G-O-T-S. But someone has covered it over and put flowers and painted the tombstone all white and pretty. But it doesn't change what's on the inside. And what do you think? God doesn't see that, right? I know most of the people in here are very pure in heart. I know most of you, I know there's a lot of pure hearts in here. But what I found out is that if we, you know, take a peek under the hood, we may find that some of the reasons we do things aren't as pure as we like. And what I found, I'm getting to a point here, but what I found is that when we take that back to God and say, God, help me purify my heart. I want my heart and my motives to be pure. Give me a kingdom heart. Because that's not a natural occurrence, believe it or not. You don't just wake up one day with a kingdom heart. We were born selfish. Every baby is born 100% selfish. It's all about me. You know, feed me, wash me, put my diaper on. I want sleep. I want food. I want it now. Wah, wah, wah. Well, you know, our flesh is kind of like that. And there's times where you can raise your flesh kind of like a little brat, and it can begin to take over and rule your life. But we need to kind of slap it around sometimes and say, you're not getting your way. You're not eating today. You're fasting. Shut up. You know, we need to gain the rulership or gain ascension over our physical body, our fleshly lusts, our, and that doesn't just mean, lust doesn't always mean sex. It can be, you know, all kinds of desires for earthly things. Some people lust after money. Some people lust after, you know, stuff. But if we purify our motives and we begin to cry out to God, see, what happened was when I saw this, I saw not just myself, I saw humanity. If you ever get a real revelation of what's in us, you know, in our fallen man. Now, that man is supposed to be dead, right? The old man is dead, the new man lives. But the truth is, a lot of times the old man is still alive and kicking and trying to rule the way you do your Christianity. the way you follow Christ, and if you haven't been transformed since you were born again, hallelujah, if you haven't been converted since you were converted, then you still have some of that stuff hanging on. You know, I don't really know anybody that got born again and was just immediately transformed. Now, some things may drop off, hallelujah. Some people have powerful conversions and they're instantly free from drugs, and that's great. But most people that I know, they had a wonderful born-again experience, but now they begin the process of having to deal with that transformation. And what I see is I see a body of Christ where almost nothing is working. I'm just going to be brutally honest. I look around and I cry out and say, God, what are we missing? Why do I see so many of us that are still sick, still struggling, still failing at so many areas when your word so clearly says all these things belong to us? What gives? And one of the keys, I think there's more than one, but one of the keys is the motive of our heart. You know, a pure heart draws the Lord. And whether you know it or not, God judges us more by the heart than our outward manifestation. He judges why are we doing what we do. And you know, I have a pure heart. I want to keep my heart pure. I've cried out for years, I want purity in behavior too. I love holiness. But I have so gotten a revelation from the Lord that if you can get purity on the inside of your heart, you will outwardly manifest purity and holiness out of that inward man. And when God showed me this one night, he just showed it to me so clear, and he showed me Adam before the fall. I actually one day prior to this experience, I had a 24-hour experience with the Lord where I was actually taken to the Garden of Eden. And I was allowed for 24 hours, well, actually about 20, I think, hours. I don't think I slept all night. I was just gone in God. And I got to see what it was like before the fall. And what I saw was a man so pure. See, before the fall, when there was no sin in Adam, there was no selfishness. There was not pride. It wasn't all about me. His first thought was, what's in it for God? Not his second thought. See, most of us, we fight the old man, the old way. So our first thought, and if we're well-trained, it won't last long. Our first thought is, what about me? And then we say, no, wait. I'm serving the Lord. My second thought is, what do I do for the kingdom? But with Adam, before the fall, and then with Jesus, right, who was the last Adam, it was literally the very first thought, what's in it for him? What's in it for God? What's in it for the kingdom? But after the fall, that was totally torn away, and everything, there was this giant rift of darkness, this huge veil of darkness fell, both over the earth and in man, this terrible darkness. And everything turned inward, and everything became about me. Well, it's all about me. What do I get out of this? What does it look like? What does it feel? What's it for me, for me, for me, for me? And what we find is, in Christianity, if we aren't careful, we can come into following Christ, but not be delivered of the me, 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 me. And we can even desire to do a work for the Lord, but I've seen that it can be based in pride. You know, my kingdom is bigger than your kingdom. My church is better than your church. Puke. Oh, edit that, sorry. But really, how gross. See, a kingdom heart is, oh, look at that guy's church. It's going. Look at the Spirit of God moving there. I'm going to go help him. See, that's a kingdom heart, but you don't get born with that thing. That thing is birthed in prayer, and you can't even get it unless you desire to crucify yourself. And Jesus said, if any man would follow me, let him pick up his cross. And that was the cross in that day. See, we think of it as a cute little trinket on the end of a necklace, but a cross was the known murderous torture device. It was the Roman preferred torture because it was the most grueling, the most torturous, the most horrible way to die that they could devise. They could have killed you a lot quicker, but no, they wanted to drag it out. And they would put, some of the roads would have hundreds of crosses lined up. they'd be killing people to show their power. You know, a torture device. And so for Jesus to say, pick up your cross and follow me, we have taken that way, way, way too lightly. Some people want to follow Jesus and they want all the good stuff that he promised and they think it's all supposed to be roses. But what I found is that if we will take the time to die, if we will take the time to put self on the cross and take our heart to God and say, Lord, I see this thing in my heart and it's not right. This motive is stinky. But I don't even have the ability to change it. Would you help me to transform my heart and then begin to pray into that thing? And what happened to me after I saw Eden and I saw, there was many, many things he showed me that were so radically different from what we know today. You know, one time I was saying, God, why do you love us? We're not very lovely. People are not so good. Why do you love us? And he said, you have to remember what I created. I knew you when. See, he knew us before the fall. He understands what we could be. And when he looks at you, he sees what you could be. And he loves you according to what you could be. But if we remain satisfied to stay where we are in our slop, oh boy, hallelujah. Sometimes I don't know what's coming out of my mouth. But think about the prodigal son who for a time was contented to eat slop with pigs. You know, to eat slop, you've got to lay down in their filth, in their manure, and eat in this low trough. Pigs, you know, they're not very tall. The trough is low. He's laying in pig dew. And for a time was contented. And do you know there are believers that are contented to remain in the filth when all the time the Father's house is there? When all the time the Father's calling him home. All the time he's saying, I'll clean you, I'll wash you, I'll give you the best robe, I'll put the shoes on your feet. But what they do is stay in the filth and eat the junk from the trough covered with pig dew and say, you know, I want all that good stuff. God said it's here in the Word, I should have that. No, get up out of the stuff and leave it and come home in humility. The young man came home willing to be a servant. Stripping himself of any honor he originally thought he might have had. Because he knew he was a mess. See, but the problem with us is we don't know. We don't realize what our stuff looks like to God. You know? Now, he loves you, and you know I move a lot in grace. I believe in grace and mercy. But there's a time when we need to just take a real look at what's really going on and deal with it. And when that young man made the decision, God's blessing was always there. His house was always there. The robe was waiting. The ring was waiting. The shoes, the fatted calf, the whole thing was all waiting for him. But God wasn't going to come to the pigsty. No, the young man had to get up and say, I am done with this. I'll go back to my father. I'm not worthy to even be called his son, but I'll see if he'll take me as a servant. And the father begins to just pour blessings on him. Why? Because he made a decision. And sometimes our decisions, the decisions that we make, release the blessings of God. If you are saying things to God like, well, your word says there's this blessing and I'm not getting it, ask him if there's anything that needs to be decided. You know, God showed me something. I hope I can verbalize this, so I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to help me. But one of the things God showed me some years ago was that one of the biggest offenders that we have is our opinions. If we think we know a lot, you know, the Bible says if any man thinks he knows anything, he knows nothing as he ought to know. Because the first real revelation we need to get is that we don't know so much. The greatest, probably, you know, it was a great day for me to be born again, but I think the greatest revelation, and I didn't realize at that time how great it was, but looking back, I realize it was one of the most powerful revelations I ever got because it changed my whole life and opened doors to me that were so wonderful. But it was the day I got the revelation is that he is always right and I am usually wrong. And that if he tells me something, I'm not supposed to process it through my little mind and my little opinions and my little belief system and decide whether I think God is right or not. But do you know that there's some people who do that and then come and say, I don't hear from God. Yeah, you do. Some of you hear from God, but you don't know it's Him, and you process it through your little tick-tick-tick-tick-tick-tick-tick and say, no, that's not logical. We were talking about it last night. How logical was it at Jericho when God said, okay, everybody get in a line and march around. Now do it every day and make a big noise. Oh, that's logical. That'll make walls fall down. How many of us would process that and say, well, that doesn't make sense. Okay, here's what we're going to do. You know, let's figure out a better way. But do you know that that is actually telling God that He doesn't know what He's doing and you do? And that is, whether you know it or not, that's a form of rebellion. When we stand in our own opinions, see, what happened to me was I screwed everything up. And I'm, in the natural, a fairly smart person. And I would make, you know, when before I had a clue, I would make decisions pro and con. I would figure it out by logic, and I would make the decision. And it would never go right. Because God wanted to be Lord. God wants to be Lord. He's kind of funny about it. Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and you won't do the things that I say? And so when I got the revelation I got was, okay, if He says it, it's right. No matter how weird it sounds to my natural thinking. If I decide it gets all screwed up. I'm making a decision today. God, you're right, I'm wrong. End of story. And it was a great day, but I didn't realize how great. Because a lot of the struggles that we have are when we try to process it through our little processor, thinking we have, you know, such good logic. Sometimes people come to the altar and they tell me what to pray and how to pray it. And I try to be polite. But I'll be honest with you, it doesn't work that way. There are times when God will give you some proclamations, yay. But there are times when we need to say, what do you say about this, God? What are you doing here? What are you doing in this situation? And if we will yield to what He says and what He's doing, we'll find the way out. God loves to make a way where there is no way. But He will do it His way. And He's kind of funny about it. You know, one time He told me, my ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. He said, I have a system. It's laid out in my word. I'm not changing it for you. I have a way that I'm going to do things. You want it to work? Do it the way I said. Or we can continue your method for years to come, and you'll find that it doesn't work. And so I began to search the scriptures and change my tactics to line up with the scripture. I began to look at how it said to do something and do it that way, and guess what I found out? The scriptures work. How amazing. But you have to do what they tell you to do. And one of the biggest things is this pure heart. And I know that I'm surprised we're even doing this, because I know that most people in here have tremendously pure hearts and pure motives. However, I believe God wants to open doors of blessing to us. And what I found is if we seek the Lord in the area of our heart and purity and motives and putting the kingdom truly first and beginning to, you know, seek the Lord to change our heart to say what's in it for Him. And when I began to pray that way, God did do a work in my heart that was, I know it was a miracle. Because you know your personality type. I was always the type of personality that I'm really, you know, I'm not a social butterfly. Edgar is, you know, Edgar was the type of guy that, you know, he would go out every night with people if, you know, if you let him. He just loves to be with people. He's a people person. I was more of a hermit. I just enjoyed being quiet, being alone with God, you know. And when I began to pray, Lord, change my heart to be a kingdom heart, what I saw was someone would invite me to something, and instead of me going through the thought process of, I really don't feel like it, you know, what will that be like? Does it fit my schedule? I began to think, ooh, maybe there's someone there that God wants to talk to. And it would be like that thought would pop. See, because I was asking Him to deal with my thinking and my motives. We can be changed, but we have to ask Him to help us do it. We can't change ourselves. We don't really have the ability. Amen. That's called grace. Grace is His ability to do what we cannot do. You know, some of you want to pray more, but you try to pray and you get, you know, so far into it and you just poop out because it's tiring. But you know that if you ask the Lord for His grace and ability, He will give you the grace and the ability to pray and to go deeper and deeper. And like for me, there's times when maybe I'll have a prayer challenge and I know it's going to, you know, I know it's I got to dig in my heels and really pray through something, I'll ask him for grace. Especially if I have a lot of other things going on. If I'm doing a tough project at work, I ask him for grace. If I have a problem I can't solve, Lord, would you give me grace? And when I say that, I mean, give me your ability because I don't have it. You do it through me. And I've never had him say no. I've never heard him say no. I've never seen him not come through with an ability, and then it would be like, wow, look what God just did. Look what God just did. Amazing. But he stands ready to pour out his grace through any child of his that will ask. You know, a lot of the stuff we don't have is because we don't. He said, you have not because you ask not. That's really true. There are some things you're waiting for God to give you. Did you ask? And were you specific? Be specific what you're asking God to do for you. And if it's a big, you know, if it's something that you're really believing him for, write it down. Keep it before you. Pray it each day. Talk to the Lord about it. You know, there's some things people think God's going to speak to you once and you just know the answer. But there's some things, if it's a bigger item, a life issue, for example, if he said it to me once, I would still put that on the shelf and say, keep talking to me. And let it unfold before you. Let it unfold in your life. If God is doing a major life change in your life, then I don't just listen to him say, you know, do this. Well, I'll do it, sure. But in the meantime, I'm going to be continually talking to him. Let it unfold before me. Show me this, show me that. Open the way for me. Because there's an unfolding of the plan, you know. And sometimes people want things in a split second, but sometimes God will unfold it over time and make it clear over time. And that's okay because that's a faith walk. You're walking each step by faith. Every step you go along, okay, I don't know the big outcome, but I know I'm supposed to take this step. Okay, I don't see the whole picture, but I see that I'm supposed to take this step. And you just keep stepping, and pretty soon, boom, God has built something and you didn't even know it. You know, I've seen God build things in the Spirit without ever showing me what he was building. And then it's like, surprise! Because he loves to surprise his children. He loves to bless his children. I don't know if you know that, but God actually loves to bless his children. He loves to build something and then kind of cover your eyes and then go, ta-da! You know, he likes that. And so sometimes when he's not showing you everything, there's a reason, you know? I remember going through a very, very tough time and just feeling like, man, am I ever going to get through this? Is this ever going to come out right? And when God did it, it was I felt a little bit like Job at the end of Job, where it was like, ta-da, 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 double, 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 double. It was like every area, after many years of every area being horrible, it was like suddenly he just started unveiling just wonderful things and gifts, things I'd never even imagined, things I'd never even thought of, you know. When you just think God has given up on you or, you know, I can't see what's going on or why did this go on so long or whatever, God is working behind the scenes. He's still working on your case, you know. He is working on it. You just keep being faithful and taking the steps you know to take. Keep praying in the Spirit. Keep reading your Word. Keep staying in the Word. Stay in the New Testament a lot. Don't just stay in it, but believe it. As an act of your will, believe what it says to you. You know? Believe it. Because that flips a switch. Faith flips a switch to release things into the earth. You know? And God has great things for all of us. And sometimes there is a timing, and sometimes that timing depends on us. Sometimes there's just other factors, you know, other people. Sometimes the devil's involved and you got to beat him up, you know. Sometimes it takes a little bit of time to press through spiritual forces. Because if there's something you're doing for God, there will be opposition. But you can always take him out. It's not a problem. You can take him out. But you have to set your face to do it. You know, you have to be a little hard-headed in that area. Don't back down. Don't ever back down. If you have a devil in your life, and you can ask God, you know, you can ask God for wisdom. And he'll sometimes show you the thing. Sometimes he'll allow you to see the demon force that is facing you. He'll allow you to look right at it and deal with it. And sometimes if you pray, he'll even do it right before your eyes. Other times he'll let you just take it out. But greater is he that's in us than he that operates by spirit of the world. And I have seen God totally change things. But it's like with Daniel, there was a 21-day lag time because there was a war going on in the heavenlies. Daniel couldn't pray in the spirit, you know. He didn't have that. But he was faithful. And he waited, and here came the angel to explain to him, God heard you from the day you said your prayer. But we have weapons of warfare that Daniel didn't have access to. And as we pray, we release God to work. We release the angels to do their work. And we're actually in an overcoming battle. We're in a battle to take the kingdom, take it for God, win it for God. And the devil, he already knows he's lost. You know, how stupid can you get and breathe? Oh, he's going to take God's throne? Are you serious? That's like an ant, you know, saying he's going to take God. Really? You're a created being. I will. No, you will not. You know, and God's like, you know, smoke. Not hard for God. You know, not hard at all. By the breath of his mouth in one sentence, Satan is crushed utterly. And Satan knows that. Believe it or not, he's actually read the book. And he knows what's, you know, why did he always say to Jesus, have you come to torment us before the time? See, they know there's a time when there's torment in store for them. They know. They know. I remember there was a guy that was years and years and years ago. And I didn't realize how involved he was with the devil because he seemed nice. But he was very involved with demonic stuff. I didn't know it. And there I am witnessing to him and telling him all about Jesus, you know, and he's listening and listening, but he was involved in the occult and pretending not to be. And I didn't know why. I didn't realize it was the Holy Spirit. And one day I took him through the scriptures where every demon that saw Jesus, they kneeled down and they cried out, I know who you are, the Holy One of God. Have you come to torment us before the time? And you know what the guy said? I didn't know that. Well, you know it now. You might as well bow down now, honey. You might as well get in early. Because every knee will bow. And every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Every knee will bow. It says on the earth and under the earth and above the earth. So that's pretty much everybody. Jesus has already won this battle and he's already stripped Satan clean. So if, you know, there's going to be a war, I wouldn't be standing behind Jesus. You know, because he's already won. He doesn't plan to lose. And Jesus is in the process, through his church, of taking territory. And the enemy is in the process, through his little church, of trying to take territory. And so we need to be active. Amen? In taking territory for Christ. We need to be active in prayer, active in evangelism, active in sharing the gospel, active in every way. And God will take you places in prayer to turn things around. He'll take you places. Amen. Is this getting too long? I've lost track of time again. Am I wearing you out? No. So last Thursday we were praying and we had a really glorious time and I found myself way out there. And there's no words for this, but it was as though there's no words for it. Hallelujah. But there are times in prayer when we can encounter God in a way that is different than we normally encounter God. And it is a life-changing experience when it happens. And I said that to say God desires that for you. He desires good for you. He desires to bring you into the presence of His glory. He desires to fill you with His glory. But He won't He won't come to you. He's already done that. You know, He's already come, died, shed His blood, and opened His arms to all. Died for the sins of the whole world. Everybody that wants to can come. But the ball is in their court. And everybody gets to come as far or not come as far as they choose. So, I believe God wants us to understand that it's really up to us how far we go in God, how close we get to Him, how many of His doors of heaven we open, how many of the windows of blessings we open, how many of the doors of heaven of blessing are open to us. It's really up to us how far we go. It's really our choices and decisions. We're looking to God to do it. But God is really saying, you come to the Father's house. And in that house is the best robe. In that house is the ring, you see, which is what? The Father's signet ring. You know that even on this earth you can have the Father's signet ring. Did you know that? But not many will ever get it. Because He doesn't entrust it to everybody. Look at your Old Testament. How many of the kings gave their signet ring to somebody? And if they did, it was only one. And that person had been tried and tested and proven for their motive. Joseph was the prime minister of Egypt because the Pharaoh understood, knew his heart, trusted him with the kingdom. You know, for a king to trust you with the kingdom, he's not going to do that unless you've proven your heart and your motives and that you're true. Amen. And so God is raising us up. And some of us are bumping heads on the ceiling. And I believe that He wants that removed. He wants the way open. And He's trying to help us see how to do that. Amen? Amen. Okay, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. All right, hallelujah. Glory to God. God is very good. God is very good. Hallelujah. So, Father God, I ask you to bless each of your children that made the decision to go a little deeper. I ask you to bless each of them that prayed that heart unite, that prayed that prayer, unite my heart to fear the Lord. And I know that you will. And I ask you, Lord, to help us as we look into our hearts. Help us to purify our hearts. Help us to be truly pure. Not pretend pure, but truly pure. Because I feel like purity is really important in this day. To keep ourselves pure before you. It's a holy thing. And it's an honor that we would even be allowed to ask the question. It's an honor that we would even be allowed to come before you and ask for your grace in this. There's nobody like you, Father. We just bow down before you and we worship you. Lord, you're holy. And there is no other like you. Your magnificence is beyond anything we know. And Lord, we live, or we want to live, just to bring glory and honor to your name and to show people who you are, how great you are, that you might be revealed in the earth. You know, Lord, we're not able, but you are. Lord, reveal yourself to us and then through us. I ask that you'll do something, Lord, that only you can do. Open the doors and windows. Reveal yourself to us. We seek your face, Lord. Open the way that we behold you in such a way that we're, you know, smitten. Bill Johnson cried out for some time, I think a couple of years. And when the power of the Lord came on him in his bed at night, he said he lost all control of his mind and body. He said it was like he completely lost control. And he didn't know what to do with it. And it would happen night after night. But look what God has done. Oh my, look what God has done. See, because he submitted himself wholly. Because he knew, he said when he lost all control, he got this revelation that he said God might do that to him in front of people. He said he might stand on the platform and become a complete spaz. And he said, what will people think? You know, what if this happens when I'm on the platform? I look like a fool. And he said, you know what? If that'll glorify you, God, have at it. And the purity of that heart has brought revival that is now impacting nations literally. One man with a pure heart. One guy that was willing to say, I'll be an idiot for you. I'll be a fool. I'll look like a complete idiot. Heidi Baker, and why I'm sharing this, she said, you know, Heidi Baker has a PhD in theology, systematic theology. And she came to this real fancy minister's conference, and she was supposed to teach and preach, and she said she ended up on the floor going, oh! And some of them were just, you know, so far above that. But God released his presence. She didn't care what anybody thought of her. I remember one time I went up to Toronto, and I thought, I'd never seen anything like this, and I've been around the Holy Ghost for a while, and I don't think I can do it with this thing on. In fact, I don't think I can do it. But there was I think it was John Arnott's wife, Carol Arnott. And I don't think you could try to do this, but physically her head started shaking like she was in the Holy Ghost. And some people were, oh, that's not the Holy Ghost. Well, I don't know, because I don't think you could do that in the natural. Her hair was like flinging. I mean, all you could see was this ball of phew. Now, I don't understand that, and some people say that's not God, but I'm going to tell you something. There are times when God will do strange things to release something. I don't understand it. There are times when he'll do something that we don't get to release something that he is doing. We need to be careful not to judge it. Don't judge us. Don't, just stay out of it. Don't know. Just because it's a dangerous thing to ever say. You know, it's very dangerous to take something of the Holy Ghost and call it something else. You know, it's very, very dangerous. Now, I don't know why God even had me share that, but the point is, some people are willing to be made low, brought low, go through that low doorway. Is it worth, you know, is revival worth it? Oh, yeah. To me, yeah. Is it worth it to be brought low and to crucify self? Yeah. To die to everything you ever wanted? Oh, you bet. To see the power of God manifested in such a way where people are impacted and changed? I mean, really, not just in cute little Christianese. Blech. But deeply and profoundly changed? Oh, yeah. Kill me now. Yeah, have at it, God. Well, I'm not going to sing you that song. I have a song about get out the knife and start the surgery. I know the knife was heaven sent. I'm on the operating table, Lord. I'm in the mood to repent. But if death itself brings the resurrection power of Christ, you know, bring it on. Amen. So, God has so much for us. Father, I just bless your people. And I ask that your presence go with them. And bless them in Jesus' name.
We hope you enjoyed today's message by Holly Bailey. You can download more messages from our store at www.spiritofgodworldwide.com.